This is the Huey Alert Podcast with Craig and Shelley Huey, bringing you the tools to transform our nation and culture, the intersection of faith and politics.
Hi, it's Craig Huey of the Huey Alert Podcast. I'm so glad you're with us again. You know, my beautiful bride, Shelley, she's not here, but I know she wishes she was, because we have an incredible guest that you're going to really appreciate, I think. His name's Phil Hotzendorf. He has written a book called Midnight in America. And he's with Influence Church and a lot more than that, too. And we'll get into that. But he's written 12 books. And Phil has said something controversial. And I want to dig into it. And I think it goes back to his book, Midnight in America. And this is the statement I have: the world is not falling apart, it is falling into place. Phil, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Craig. Great to be with you. Great to meet a new friend and a colleague in this world of trying to get truth out there and right. Help people live life to the fullest.
Awesome. Well, listen, Phil, you've been really involved in trying to help transform the culture and politics for the better. You've been involved in the intersection of faith and politics. And tell me about Midnight in America. What is the main theme of this new book, and why did you write it?
Well, it really came when the lockdown orders came. Of course, yes. California, we're out here in the land of the fruit and the nuts, and the chief
California.
Nut is in Sacramento. So I just realized that a couple of weeks into the pandemic that something wasn't right. And so we decided to open our church and defy the government orders
on two reasons.
Number one reason was the Constitution. Number two, and the primary one would be that Caesar is not king.
Yes.
And so I began to really just kind of preach on the subject of democracy, freedom, as it relates to scripture. I didn't know it was going to be almost a year and a half long sermon series I was going to do.
Right.
But it became foundational for this book. And one of the things that was really interesting, I did an interview on the Epoch Times in late 20 or 21, early 21.
Right.
And they asked me the question, what's the parallel between the church in China and the church in America? And I said, well, of course, we all know there's the underground church, which is strong and thriving, of about 400 million people, according to the latest poll. And then you've got the state church, which is not a church at all. And
right.
In America, and I wasn't really prepared for this answer that I was going to give, but it stuck and it's kind of carried with me. And I said, in America, we have the conforming church and we have the believing church.
Wow.
And little did I know how prophetic that statement would be.
Wow.
And yet it became the great exposer of what's happening in America among leadership in the church. And so sometimes we don't really know who we're partnering with. And we say, wouldn't it be great if all the churches get together? And I always tell people that will never happen, number one. Number two, you don't know who you're partnering with.
Yes.
And so I think this has been a great thing. It's been great for our church. It was one of the greatest things that's ever happened in just kind of gelling people's faith, loving God, going deeper, and being willing to stand in the middle of a storm.
Wow. Amazing. Well, I really applaud you for taking that stand and being such salt and light in the community. And so you're one of the heroes, the pastors who stood firm, who didn't compromise, and really helped encourage others to do what was right and open their churches. So with that, how does that tie into this book, The Midnight in America?
Well, the question I get asked most often is, where is American biblical prophecy?
Right.
And the reason I'm asked that is because I'm an American, I'm hanging with Americans all the time, and they want to know. And if we do a Google search on that, usually we're frustrated. You either get the answer we're not, or we've been annihilated or amalgamated into some other nation, or you're going to go to an obscure verse in Ezekiel 38:13. And I just was never satisfied with that.
Right.
So I really took a fresh dive, looked at it from a different angle, came up with what I believe is an original take on the subject. And it really is kind of a centerpiece chapter in the book. I'll give a couple of little details, enough to tease the audience, but not give away the farm, so to speak.
Right.
But if you go to Washington, D.C., and most people have, or they've seen pictures of it, and you go to the Washington Monument, you look at it and you go, that doesn't look anything like George.
Right.
Yet other monuments, they tend to look like the person they're named after.
Yes.
And yet what we see is a 555-foot Egyptian obelisk dedicated to the sun god. In and of itself, that is odd enough. But if I get on a plane and I fly to Vatican, I find another Egyptian obelisk that was transported there in the 13th century by order of the Pope. And then if I go to London Incorporated, a 1 square mile area within London, I find another Egyptian obelisk called Cleopatra's Needle, and it was transported there in the 1800s. Now, all three of those are city-states. They're the only three city-states in the world. They all operate with their own police forces. They all operate with their own sets of rules. They're very different. And they make up some very interesting things in terms of Washington is really the military center of the world. Vatican is religious center, and London Incorporated is really the financial center of the world.
Wow. Okay.
So I took a look at that and I realized that the first human kingdom was Babylon. It was founded by Nimrod in Genesis chapter 10, 11. And Babylon is more than a geographical location. It's also a spiritual entity.
Yes.
And it runs itself all the way through scripture in idolatry and anti-God thought.
Yes.
It's finally judged in the book of Revelation, chapter 17 and 18. It's called Mystery Babylon, the Great Whore. And it says there that she is broken apart back into three pieces. And so I identify those as the three city states. Washington, D.C. flag also has three stars on it. No one gives you a good answer. I really believe it represents the three city states of the world. I think America's long-term future, I don't know whether that's 10 years or 1,000 years. I'm not here to predict a date.
Right.
But I see it being used in the future by the Antichrist to really form a one world government and control society.
Wow. Very intriguing and very good research. Kind of a very dark trinity there with the three city states. So as you're taking a look at this and you're taking a look at God's plan for the world and for America. The whole thing that just happened recently with Iran showering Israel with missiles and drones and that massive attack and the at least getting 99% of the weapons destroyed before they hit. How does that play into what you're writing about?
Well, there's a couple of really interesting things related to that. One, of course, I know you're familiar with the War of Ezekiel 38, mm-hmm. which names Persia, which is modern-day Iran, in that conflict when they invade Israel. We know that war is coming. Another really interesting thing in the book that ties this together is what happened on October 7th in the Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it's interesting is above all, this is unbelievable. CBS reported the testimony of a Hamas fighter on the 100th day of the battle saying that part of the reason, if not the majority of the reason for the attack on Israel was the red cows. Now, a lot of people don't know about the red heifers, but this is really tied into a prophetic future because they were necessary for the purification of the priests and of the temple.
Right. Yeah,
and those have been delivered. Those are there, and they're ready to go. So what the Muslims know about this is that this signals a rebuilt Jewish temple, which would be on the Temple Mount.
Right.
So these were fighting words, so to speak. And so you see a couple of different things that you're coming together in this period. I think we're living in the most prophetic, interesting times in history.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a pretty powerful statement because we're seeing it play out, are we not?
We are.
As our viewers and listeners are thinking in terms of God at work in the world today, mm-hmm. and prophecy being done before our very eyes, and we're seeing the word of God fulfilled, what would you suggest people do? As they see this, some are right now in fear, Others are like totally ignoring it. I've noticed most pastors didn't even mention the attack on Israel and had never either the October 7th or this recent attack by Iran. They're kind of editing it out. What would you say to the church, to the pastors about this?
Well, first of all, I'm very hopeful. I mean, I wake up every day excited. I don't look at the world situation with despair. I know that God is sovereign and he's in control.
Yes.
So I think the first thing that dissipates fear is knowing the word of God. God has not given you a spirit. And remember, he calls it a spirit, not an emotion, a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind.
Yes.
So the more that you elevate God in your life, the more your fear will diminish. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, it tells us in Romans chapter 10.
Right.
So we know that if I want my faith to grow up, I can't neglect the word of God. I've got to read the word of God to increase that.
Right.
Courage is a foundational character trait. Winston Churchill said it's foundational for all others, because from it, all other character qualities arise.
Yes.
And so you have to be a courageous human being. You have to be willing to say, you know what, listen, God is on my side. I'm moving forward. I'm going to lead my family, my company, my neighborhood, my school, whatever. I'm not going to bend or bow, because I am a child of the living God.
Yes.
And God is on my side. And I don't have to worry even about what I'm going to say, because Jesus told us that when you get in the right situation of conflict, he will give you the words you need.
Right. Phil, that's awesome. That is an encouragement to everyone. So as you took a look and put together your book, you brought up the subject of Samson. What does Samson have to do with this?
Well, most people know the story of Samson. He had a Nazirite vow. One of the things that he couldn't do was cut his hair.
Right.
And he found himself in a compromising situation with a woman and told the secret. She cut his hair while he was sleeping. And it says he stood up to go out as he had before, but he didn't know the power was gone from him.
Yes.
He was then led into the area of the Philistine temple, which is current day Gaza. This is always interesting, to the temple of Dagon. And it's really interesting, because it says there that when he put his hands on the pillars, Holy Spirit includes a little scripture, and his hair began to grow. That means the covenant was back. I believe America has broken covenant with God, but that doesn't end America. We have been blinded. We don't see what's all around us as a nation, what's really going wrong.
Right.
And we don't know that the power has gone out from us.
Yes.
But I really believe God restores. We're seeing a great move of God here in our church, in our neighborhood. We've got Jesus clubs in the public schools. We've got up to 250 kids per school in the public schools.
Wow.
We just saw 50 saved yesterday in one of our schools.
And that's happening in California right now.
That's happening in Southern California.
It's awesome.
And our goal is to have a Jesus club in every public school, high school in Orange County. Which is a big goal, but we want to help other churches do it. We don't have to do it all, but we can show you what we're doing, show you how it's done. Because unless you get on the front line, you're in a holy huddle. You're just getting weaker and weaker by listening to everyone else's moan about the world. It's time to get out on the front line, be the church that God called you to be a courageous man, woman, boy, or girl, and see what God can do in your life.
Wow. I love it. And I love your vision. I love what you're doing there. In the local area, it's the church in action is what it is. So, Phil, before we go, I want to make sure we cover two things that are happening and just get your feeling and comment on that, especially as it relates to your book and what you see happening prophetically. And that is, number one, we're seeing evidence, especially among young people, the young people who, for the most part, call themselves nuns, not the ladies in black dresses, but, you know, the nuns, they're not Christians, they're not Catholic, they're not evangelical, they're not Buddhist, they're not an atheist, they're not Hindu, they're just nothing. That among the young people, we're seeing them coming to Christ. We're seeing colleges where there's these massive groups of baptism. I just wrote about the baptisms and pickup trucks at one university. And so we're seeing this happening across America among young people. What are you seeing in regards to this?
Oh, we're on the verge of a great awakening, I believe, in America. The great move of God right now is largely among Gen Z, but more specifically, Gen Z males.
Yeah.
And we're seeing men coming back. I believe it's going to be the fulfillment of the days of Elijah, where the fathers restored to the children.
Yes.
So I really believe that's where it's happening. A lot of people don't know this, but on Easter, the Catholic French Catholic Church baptized 30,000 people by immersion on Easter.
No, I know.
So there are things happening that don't get reported on a wide scale basis. And remember that miracles only happen when you have a problem. You know, America wants to be comfortable and complacent and at ease in Zion. But the greatest thing for the church is persecution. And we become strong. The stones that they throw at the prophets become the foundation for their monument later on. And we just have to be, we have to be strong and get out there. The problem is really not with the nuns. The problem is with the people that have. And they, you know, if you don't, you know, the world has always been lost. The world has always been separated from God. We were born in sin.
Yes.
And we were led by that deceptive heart above all things. And that's natural. What we want is the supernatural people to stand up and quit being a victim, quit crying and complaining about how bad the world is. The world's always bad. It's in the hands. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world has blinded the eyes of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the true light of the gospel, the glory of God. So what's new? Let's get to work. Let's get busy. Amen.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. I think you've got to ask one more question, and that has to do, we have an election coming up, and we have, you know, 20 to 30% of the Christians of any evangelical church aren't registered to vote. We've got a situation where maybe 30, 40, 50% of the people who are registered are not going to vote. We have a situation where pastors are silent about the church. This election, what do you see happening in your church and across America right now regarding this upcoming election?
Well, our church is very political in sense of its savviness and its engagement. So, you know, we're not the norm. I recognize that.
Right.
They did a study that if all the evangelical Christians in California would just simply vote, you could turn the state red. So 100%. That's pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize that the Bible is the most political book on planet Earth. Every single leader in there was confronting either Rome, Assyria, Persia, you name it. And they always were going against the grain and they always were being opposed. So it's a political book.
Yeah.
And our nation was founded on the basis of the 17 major points that the New England preachers were preaching. That's how the Constitution came about. Mm-hmm. It was just codified by what was already being said. In fact, King George said, had it not been for the Black Robe Society, meaning the clerics, that we would have won the war. So he credited the American Revolution's success to pastors.
Right. Wow. Phil, this has been great. And your book, I hope everyone listening and watching this podcast gets Midnight in America. So how can I get Midnight in America? What's the easiest way for me to get it?
Easiest way is going to Amazon, buy yourself a copy, buy one for your friend, pass the love around a little bit. I know you're going to love it. If you want to reach out to me, you can do that through our website, either at AmericanFaith.com or InfluenceChurch.org. And we have an email contact there. I would love to hear from you, love to write you back and hear your thoughts.
That is awesome. So the book's Midnight in America. You can get it on Amazon. You can contact, and in our communication on this podcast, we've got Phil's contact information. And Phil, really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Forward to having you back sometime soon when I have my beautiful bride, Shelley. And before we go, can I pray for you?
I would love that. Thank you.
Great. Father, I just thank you for Phil. I thank you for his ministry. I thank you for his church, and thank you for this book. And I ask God that you would just give him strength, wisdom, and Lord, that you would expand his message, and give him protection. And I thank you for that. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Craig.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Everybody, I want you to take this podcast. I want you to send it off to your friends, people in your Bible study. I want you to send it off to your neighbors, kids, to your pastor, youth pastor. Let them see this podcast, because I think it'll be a blessing to them as well. So, all right, till next week, God bless you guys.
Thanks for joining us this week. We are listener-supported, so please consider partnering with us by donating at craighuey.com or by signing up for our free newsletter. We look forward to being with you next week. And don't forget to share this podcast with others.